Welcome to the Son of a Preacher podcast. Please sit back and listen to the thoughts and musings from sermons that were first brought to the pulpit 4, 5, even 6 decades ago. I am G.W., and I am the Son of a Preacher. I am so happy to be talking to you all again today. This message was given on January 25th, 1976. Scripture was from the Old Testament and from Genesis, the 2nd chapter, 16th and the 17th verse. And it says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall die." Now, the topic was always a no-no. So why are no-nos so attractive? Well, just to tell you some of my family history. My family background is a family of teetotalers. Parents and grandparents alike, great-grandparents, that basically never took a drink in their life. Now, they probably would be sorry to see the fact that I do enjoy a glass of wine. And so they would be sorry about me. But you know, it was interesting because my grandfather had a neighbor, and the neighbor was an outstanding distiller, not a legal one. You know, he was a moonshiner. And unfortunately, he didn't follow the legal laws of how you're supposed to do that to have a distillery. He just had a moonshine distillery that was back in the woods there in the Ozarks. And it was just an old-fashioned still. And he took great pride in what he did. And he was very good at it, and he was very well known throughout that part of Arkansas for his ability to make good quality moonshine. Now, he eventually got arrested, and again got arrested, and then arrested for the third time. And he ended up in jail for a considerable amount of time for his manufacturing capabilities that were a no-no. But he became a special person in that jail because of that manufacturing capability. So my dad, well, interestingly to me, one of his hobbies was whittling, and he was a pretty good folk art whittler, and he would make replicas of old-fashioned stills, just like they had back in the Ozarks, back that he remembered seeing when he visited his parents in the Ozarks. And my grandfather and he, you know, would make them, and they would talk about them, but he would make sure that they were accurate, that, you know, that where the pipes were going into as they were going from one part of the still to the other, that is how they were. And even though he had never really had a lot of drinking in his life, you know, the government really didn't want those people to make those stills. Now, it was okay for Jack Daniels, of course, and it was okay for Seagram's, but it wasn't okay for this neighbor of my grandfather to imitate it in his own right. No. Interestingly, probably also only to me, my great-grandfather was a county sheriff. He was a county sheriff of Cleburne County, and I think it was in the late 1800s, early 1900s in Arkansas. And he would talk about the number of stills that he would have to have gone up into a mountain and break apart and tear up in order for them to not produce any more alcohol illegally in the county. And he said that in his time in office, that he destroyed over 40 of those stills. Well, I'm not sure that he was the most popular guy in town for doing that, but I am sure that he felt like he was doing his job well. So that's no-nos. Okay, those are things that you shouldn't do. Now, when you look at the Bible, well, Adam and Eve, well, they only had one no-no that they were supposed to not do. They were supposed to not eat from the tree of life. And yet, they couldn't avoid taking that one little nibble. And that one little nibble, and the Lord was very clear to them when he said, if you nibble on it, you will die. But they did. And they did. They did die. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. And that garden that was allowing them to live in great comfort, it provided them with everything they needed. It was a wonderful, beautiful, well-cared-for way of life. Now, there's another set of no-nos in the Bible that we're all kind of familiar with, or hopefully we are. It's called the Ten Commandments. Pretty long list. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord of God in vain. You will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and you'll honor your father and your mother. And you shall not kill, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. Now that's a long list of 10. And as I look at that list, I go, okay, I haven't broken all of them. Actually, I haven't broken very many of them. And I certainly haven't broken any of the ones that I consider to be the major ones, like, you know, well, I don't even want to say. But when you look at the strict letter of the law, can any of us say that we haven't broken any of them? Now, I'd be surprised if you were taking a polygraph in some type of investigation, that you would be able to say that you had not broken any of the Ten Commandments at any time in your life. So that's a long list of no-nos that, in all honesty, there are great guidelines. They're a great way to try to live your life. But being a human being and being all of us being sinners, it is really hard to make that list really act strongly in our life. Now, another thing that Jesus did is that he told his apostles to let the little children come to him. Now, this was because the apostles had been trying to keep the little children away from him so that they wouldn't bother Jesus. He said, look, little kids are important to the church. They're important to the kingdom of God. So what do we have? We have a list of no-nos, and we have a list of ones that are legal. And those are the, you know, the morality factors of the country. And they're the written law of the land, and the laws that are set up for the protection of the populace as a whole. And then you have those no-nos from God. And you have those that are set up as stop signs for your protection. And you know, in your life, you know that there are stop signs that stop you from doing things. Running a red light, running a stop sign, dangerous, trying to protect you. Now, my dad really tried to connect with the younger generation when he was in the pulpit. And in many ways he did. But he didn't really keep up with the colloquialisms that were being used at one time or another. And I don't either. You know, I hate to say it, but I'm probably not the coolest kid around anymore. I never was. And he said, you know, people are thought to be square. And if you pay attention to the no-nos, you're thought to be square. So he used the term square. Now, this was in 1976. Now, being a square really fell out of favor in probably the late 50s and early 60s. But my dad was really trying to be a part of the younger generation to be able to communicate with them. And he was well into his 60th year at the time of this sermon. So he uses the term square. Now, interestingly, we all still, well, at least I think we all still, we know what he meant. You know, you didn't want to be that person that didn't fit in with everybody else. But in order to really live for the Lord, you can't be afraid of those stop signs. You should remember that they're there for your protection. Now, we've had a pretty good upheaval in this country over the last 4 or 5 years. And we've had several elections. And we've had things that have moved the country in one direction and move it back in the other. But one thing has stayed true, and that is this. In this time of great consequence for our country, we need to pray for our leaders, so please do so. Thank you for listening to this today. May the Lord bless you, keep you in peace. I do want to ask everyone listening to this today to help spread the word about this podcast. Help me continue to keep my Father's work for the Lord alive. Please tell your friends and your church groups about this podcast. Share it on social media. Let people know that these inspirations are available. There's a new book available on Amazon titled Throwing Ink. It was a compilation of inspiration based on Dad's work. It was written by me, G.W. Stark.